God said, ye are my glory. Jesus has no physical body on earth to manifest with or to show forth the graces of God through, except you. Hallelujah. I'm just going to encourage you at this moment before the word comes to rise up and give glory to God. Hallelujah. There is something within you right now that God would speak forth. Somebody has some glory within you that you would like to let loose of. Hallelujah. And to bless God's people. Just get right up and bless God's people as God leads you. Hallelujah. This is a body meeting, and you must bring forth the glory that God has within you. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Symbol of God's power. And God's power in the earth is the ministry, the fivefold ministry. Your body is the temple of the living God. And within the temple is written the handwriting of God. The whole gospel is written in your body. Even as the gospel of Jesus Christ was written in the tabernacle of Moses. Even as it was symbolically written in the temple of Solomon. Hallelujah. So in your body is written the glory of God. And this is what God is saying. He's lifting up his glory in the earth at this time. His right hand, his ministry shall comfort and bring life to the body, said the Lord God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Be scattered on the mountains, said the Lord God, as a people without a shepherd. Hallelujah. Though it would seem to you that your shepherds have fled from the wolves and deserted you, yet, said the Lord God, I am with thee to raise thee up and to deliver thee. Hallelujah. And to bring thee unto green pastures, said the Lord God, and to give thee the food that is requisite for thy growth and for thy health. For behold, said the Lord God, I will appoint me my own shepherd, and I will feed my flock myself. I am the head, said the Lord God, and there is none other. There is no other head, neither shall I allow others to rule over my body, said the Lord God. But they shall flee, for the wolf shall appear, and they shall have no ground on which to stand. But thus said the Lord God, even the good shepherd will lead his flock and will deliver them, said God, in this day. Thus said the Lord God, in the cloudy and dark day I had promised, that I will bring my people together in one. And even this is the day, said the Lord God, that I have spoken to thee about. Even I shall bring it to pass.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tonight, by the grace of God, let us go into the word pertaining to the army of God. We have heard several times that God has an army. And it would seem that people of every nation and every age have been claiming to be part of this army. Although this army is so invisible that it had never been seen by anybody in motion.
And yet God has got an eye. Hallelujah. And I am sure that that army is represented here tonight. Praise God. Let us turn our Bibles to Joel. And as the Lord showed me last night, to give in my introduction the word on the dimensional word, a special word on the dimensional word, let me give you this before we even read Joel's promise. Praise God. I see a box under there. Could you pass that box to me? It's full. I don't care. Thank you. I'm sure the owner won't mind my marking it. I mark one on this side. I mark two on this side. Oh, you'll never see. I think the chalk would mark it better. Nothing marks it. Okay. This is side number one. And this is side, I'm going to give you the edge like this. This is side number one, number two, number three, number four. Top, bottom. Praise God. What God has been showing me is that we are all seen from different angles. And it takes all of us to see the whole of this box. I'm standing over the box, and I'm seeing side number four, three, number four, and top. You are, where you're sitting here, brother, you can see what? This is one. Can you see number two? Can you see bottom? You see one, two, bottom. And you, Iris, would see what? Two. Two, three, and bottom. And between us here, we cover the whole box. For I'm seeing top, three, and four. Now, it takes all of us to make a body ministry. No one man can run a body ministry. The body of Jesus Christ is many-membered body, and this many-membered body is exactly like Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Did you know that the many-membered body is exactly like Jesus Christ? In other words, it takes all of us to be equal to Jesus. Yeah. But you see, if we don't communicate, if I don't communicate with this brother to see here, what are you seeing around me? If I don't communicate with Iris to hear what's on this my left side here, if you don't communicate with me to hear what I'm seeing here, then all of us will suffer. I'll hold my little piece and I'll say, I've got it. You hold your little piece and you say, you have it. And you hold your little piece and say, God give this to me and I'm not going to let it go. This is what God gave me. And with that attitude, we will have the perfect spectrum, and yet each of us only has a part, and we never know anything else but the part that we have. Thank you. Now, if we come together in one, then all of a sudden the riches of heaven fall into our lap. Because God Almighty said in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9, he said, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, it means when all times have come to their fullness, that must be a special time, God will bring together not only those of us who are on earth, but the ones in heaven will come and work with us too and be part of us in heaven and on earth all things we are in Jesus Christ. So the more you climb in Christ, and the more I climb in Christ and in His nature, it is the more we will be in one another and with one another. And this is the unity God is talking about. Hallelujah. No matter how many churches you join, and no matter how much you go to church regularly, you will never be one with your brother who is one with Jesus Christ, unless you are one with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And Paul said, I heard that there are strivings and contentions among you. Therefore, you are carnal. He didn't try to figure out who was right from who was wrong. He just said, since you are quarreling, you are carnal. That settled the matter. Because spiritual people don't quarrel. Spiritual people don't have contentions. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. They're committed to the Lord and they keep on loving. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want you to know the message that God is saying here. He's saying that if this view on my right hand were the carnal view, and let me say, going the full circle around, and to my extreme left was the spiritual view, then those on my right hand, it would be impossible for them to see what is over here. For the carnality cannot see spirituality. Hallelujah. But what about the people here in front of me? They would be halfway carnal and halfway spiritual. So maybe one side they would be seeing one carnal side and two spiritual. The other person would be seeing two carnal and one spiritual. The other man would be seeing all three spectrum carnal. Therefore, he cannot see God at all. So what did Jesus say about that? In John chapter 3, he said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again, for if you are not born again, you won't even see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven will be hidden from you. You won't see it unless you are spiritual. Then he went on. In verse 5 he said, unless you are born again of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter. So it is only spiritual people who can enter into the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. And only spiritual people can enter. But I want you to know, brethren, that in the spiritual, we are seeing different angles of the Christ nature. And we need to come together to have the whole picture. In the natural, we see in part. We see in part. There are some people who are seeing part spiritual and part natural. This is the reason they cannot see the whole. That's the reason you have to depend on the other brother over there to see what's on the other side of the coin. God bless you. Amen. That is the word I want to bring before we start to talk about Joel's army, about God's army. Now, let's turn our Bibles to Joel and just read and let God reveal himself to us as we read. Joel chapter 2. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. That verse is saying, I will send forth a message of preparedness to my people, the 144,000, or the First Fruits Company, that they might mobilize. Amen. Hallelujah. Is that what you see there? That's what it's saying. Like you mobilize an army. A trumpet is a message. And the trumpet is going forth tonight to bring God's people to a preparedness. A day of darkness, of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountain, a great people and the strong. There had not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. Verse 3. Turn your Bible. Put a marker in at Joel. And turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 11. It seems we're just going to let the Bible speak tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 11. Verse 5. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Amen. Turn back to Joel. Amen. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Revelation chapter 9 and verse 7. Hold that scripture there. Hold on to Joel. Turn to Revelation. Let us see. This is not the reference I want. The reference is where Jesus Christ is coming with horses. 9:16. Let's see. No, that's the other army. Amen. That's the type and the antitype we're looking at here. Let's look at 7:4. No, 7 is speaking of the number that were sealed, the 144,000, which they are. Turn your Bibles to 6. And these are the horses I'm talking about. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Praise God. Then it went to describe him, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. Praise God. That's the one I'm talking about. Now, for a backup with that, there is a backup in the Psalms. I think it's Psalm, let's see, try Psalm 45 and 4. Bible drill now. Psalm 45 and 4. Let's see. And in his majesty, in thy majesty ride prosperously, because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a righteous scepter. Praise God. Now, if you notice, it mentioned arrows. Turn back to Joel. Well, Revelation, I won't go back. But Revelation said he had a bow. Remember? He said he had a bow. And I do not believe it was an empty bow. He had a bow, and the arrows were in his quiver. A bow without arrows is of no use. And so, if you said a man has a gun, it automatically suggests that he has shots in the gun. When I hear the scripture said he has a bow, I know that he has a bow with arrows. Hallelujah. Now, let's go on. We're talking about the armies of God. Where were we in Joel 6? Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march everyone on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one trust another. They shall walk everyone in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run up on the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. For his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Praise God. Now, I want you to turn your Bibles with me to Ezekiel 40. Ezekiel 37. And as Ezekiel looked down through time, God gave him this vision. We begin at the first verse. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of dry bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these dry bones live? Can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring on flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put forth and breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Hallelujah. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus said the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come forth, up, come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I am the Lord, that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to tell you something, brethren. God told me to read these scriptures to you. And there is a personal application to you. Hallelujah. You are these dead, dry bones God is talking about. And you who sit here before me, you have said in your heart, our parts are separated from us. I don't see how we can come together and be a body. I don't see how we can move through the earth and overcome the earth. I don't see the victory. I don't hear the shout of victory within this body. Within this people. Maybe it is some other people God's going to use. But blessed be to God Almighty. God is saying to me, and he is saying to you, behold, I will cause you to live. Hallelujah. 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 And you say, but when, Lord? Maybe another 100 years from this. God says, I will cause you to live now. I will cause you to function as a body now. I will bring you into perspective, not only with your God, but with your fellow men, said the Lord God. And you must cast aside every doubt and every feeling that you ever had against each other, as to what each other did you, as to how he just messed up the body, as to how he just wrecked things, and just begin to work with him. For it is by your working with him that he is going to be sanctified. I'll tell you something. God called Joshua, and God gave Joshua a promise. And God said to Joshua, as he said to Moses, as he said to Abraham, as he said to Isaac, as he said to Jacob, right down the line, he said, this is your land. I will give you this land. And he came down and he said to Joshua, now Joshua, enter the land and take it. It's wide open to you, he said. Take it. He said, every piece of territory, every piece of land upon which you walk will be yours. Ha ha. What are we talking about? You know what we're talking about? That every experience in God that you experience, that's your territory you have captured. Are you seeing with me? That the land is open, the promises are given, the whole soul nature is the land. Your own soul is the land that God is talking about. For brethren, although we want to possess the whole world and we want to possess heaven, most of us have not yet possessed our soul. And God said, in your patience, possess ye your souls. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, since God spoke those words to Joshua, hallelujah, I could turn to my Bible and look how many years it is, but it is somewhere maybe going on to 3,000 years ago. Those Jews never took that land until a few months ago, 1974, the natural Jew walked in and took away his land from the Philistines and from the Perizzites and from the Jebusites and from the Hivites and from the Canaanites and from the Girgashites, the sevenites that occupy the land, are the seven areas of your soul that you never occupied, that you never possessed by devils, possessed by earthly things, possessed by evil thoughts, possessed by spirits, never been completely conquered and possessed by us. Amen. This is a sign to us. This is a modern day sign to us. Since Israel, natural, carnal, physical Israel, has taken away their natural land and has walked upon the promise of God in the natural, blessed be to God Almighty, then it seems to me we are about ready to walk upon the land in the spiritual. For the dimensional truths of God must come through in all three dimensions. That's the natural. Number two dimension is the spiritual. And number three dimension is the fullness. Thank you, Jesus. Israel has taken their natural land. That means they have walked on the promises of God in the natural. Hallelujah. And this is a sign that we are about ready to take our land. Hallelujah. Some of you have heard of this vision that I had and this testimony, but some never heard, and maybe some didn't put it in true perspective. So let me tell you this vision again. During the election, I prayed to God, and God showed me that the man who came into power at this time, would be the man to lead the United States into the beast. You know, the beast I'm talking about is a one world government system, the one world thing. I saw a vision of the elders of the church, the body of Christ, not individuals but just persons, and we were on a housetop down into a deep valley, and we were supposed to be trying to lift this house to put it on top of the mountain that was towering over us. And we decided upon a method of putting the house up there. And the method we had decided on was to cut the house in many pieces and carry it up in pieces and join it together like a jigsaw puzzle when we got up there. Well, it seemed that there was no other way, for the house was too big and heavy for us to lift up anyhow. So we had come to this decision. And all the ministry was standing on the top of this house, finding the seams where the house was built so that we could cut it at the seams. I walked off from the group down into the valley, for I saw what appeared to have been a signpost in the valley, and this signpost was leaning against the hill, against the mountain, and it had like this a cross at the top, one in the center, and another one to the bottom, and it was leaning down. It was covered with dust, and I couldn't see what was written on it. So I took out my kerchief and dusted the bottom one off. And the bottom one marked M-I-X-I-N-G, mixing. And it was a puzzle to me. I dusted the other one off and it marked M-A-X-I-N-G, maxing. And the puzzle grew deeper. I dusted the top one off and it marked N-I-X-O-N. Praise God. I said, well, I didn't understand what it meant, but I said, okay, at least I know what the top one means. So if it means that Mr. Nixon would win the election, that's what I said to myself. I said, if he wins the election, then it means something else. Because after I left the signpost, puzzled, went back to the house, went back upon the top of the house with the other brethren who were planning to cut the house. We had just come to a decision how to carve up the house when we found ourselves with the house and everything on the top of the mountain, supernaturally transported. Hallelujah. My calculation could be wrong, but my calculation of that vision is that during the time of Mr. Nixon, the church will be lifted to that high place on top of the mountain. I remember exactly the scripture which came to me, and it was Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15. And it said, when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in a holy place, then get up into the mountain. Hallelujah. Brethren, I am saying that to say this, that the task was an impossible one. According to the height of the mountain, according to the size of the house, although we had planned, it was a humanly impossible task to have taken that house for any practical purposes when it reached the top, to the top of that mountain. I think, brethren, it's the same condition you're facing tonight. I think you are looking at the body of Christ and you said, this looks impossible. Hallelujah. I think we are going to have a divine intervention.
Hallelujah.
I think we should begin to trust God for a supernatural lifting. Amen. Rather than to feel that we could plan it of ourselves. Praise God. I believe this is the area where we should start to concentrate and to meditate on God. Oh God, lift us, for we can't lift ourselves. Amen. And so the prophet of God, can these dry bones live? Amen. God said, prophesy to them. Those of you who God has given the charge to bring forth a word, never be weary or tired of bringing forth this word. God says, prophesy to them. Hallelujah. And God said that they came together bone to bone, but there was no flesh on them. And he said, prophesy again to them. And he prophesied to them the second time. Hallelujah. This is the second message. And they came together. Flesh came upon the bones. But they were still dead in old order in their churches. Still a dead man-made organization without spiritual life. Hallelujah. And God said, call to the breath, call to the wind. And the word for wind or breath is spirit. Hallelujah. And the prophet said, oh spirit, blow upon them. Amen. Today, hallelujah, the Lord spoke to us and said, create in me a new heart and renew in me a righteous spirit, a right spirit. Create in me a clean heart, that's right, and renew in me a right spirit. What a prayer to pray. Amen. That brother over there is not functioning right, Lord God. And I'm just cut up and upset with him. Hallelujah. This brother here, amen, wants some fixing, Jesus. Fix him. Hallelujah. For if one of you had been right with God, you would speak a word of life, and it would quicken the whole body of Jesus Christ. Why do we spend our time fretting and worrying over the brother that is not right? Because we are not so right either. And we were hoping that the other brother would get right to set us right. Amen. We need to realize that we need the fullness of Jesus Christ, and it is possible in our time. and that God has promised it, and this is exactly what God is about to do for us. Amen. He is blowing the trumpet in Zion, and he is sounding the alarm, said God. Hallelujah. And God is challenging you to awake and join God's army. Hallelujah. Amen. I see the relationship of Ezekiel's army to be directly pointing at us this hour, tonight, of the 18th of July, 74. I see this pointing directly to us. You know why, brethren? When God made man, it was the same way he made man. Amen. He made man out of clay. And I believe he made a frame like the bones. And I believe around the frame he threw on the mortar. Amen. The clay. And I believe after he had formed the man properly, that he breathed the breath of life into him, and man became a living soul. I believe even as it was in the creation, so it is in the recreation. For man was recreated in Jesus Christ. You hear me? We were not God's children, we were Adam's children. We were made according to the will of Adam, and we were made contrary to God under sin. Jesus Christ began to recreate man in the image and likeness of God. Hallelujah. And tonight the process of recreation has not been completed. You know why? God could not make sons. Sons have to be responsible for their own resurrection into God. You ask me, where you get that, brother? I see it in the Bible. I see in Ezekiel 28 that the sons of God had nine stones, nine natures of glory and light, to reflect the nature of God, nine areas. I see in Revelation 22 that when man was completed in the fullness of God, he had 12 stones. Hallelujah. I checked the stones. I found out that the three stones were lacking were the three stones of sonship. The three stones that depict sonship. Hallelujah. God cannot make you a son. You have got to grow into his nature by your own free will choice. Hallelujah. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, God said, if you believe, he gives you power to become sons of God. Hallelujah. When you believe on Jesus Christ, you have only received power to become sons. Then in Romans 8:14, we are told that those that are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. You're going to march in the army? You have to be led of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You're going to march in the army? You have got to be under the head, Christ Jesus. Amen. We're not talking about joining church. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We're talking about walking in Christ Jesus, being motivated by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah, whatever you do, whatever you think, whatever you operate under, it must be God and not just your own mind or somebody else telling you, God said to do this, God said to do that, God said to do this. Never do it until God in you agrees with the God out there that says to do it. Then you become absolutely responsible. Somebody said, but brother, this is, I don't quite agree with that teaching. I say, sister and brother, you are not responsible for any message of God that comes to you if you don't believe it. Why? Because the Spirit of God in you is going to make you believe the Spirit of God in me. Now, I'm not talking about people who don't have the Spirit. I'm talking about spiritual people. The Spirit of God in you is going to make your heart leap when somebody brings a message to you and says, thus saith the Lord God. Amen. And if the Spirit of God in you does not agree with the Spirit of God in me, it means that probably you stifle the Spirit of God in you. Amen. And it means that you are supposed to get a licking to straighten you up. And when God is finished with you, you will come a running. I don't have any problem. Hallelujah. All the problems are already solved in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. And so when God sends forth his army, they will all be under one general. General Jesus. Amen. And the Bible said that fire will come out of their mouth and burn their enemies. When we become one in Christ. Hallelujah. Let me read it for you. Turn to Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Amen. And verse 11 down. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. That means the saints are going to do the work of the ministry. The saints must minister for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till that work goes on until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. This army is a one-man company. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How many of us are going to make up Christ? How many of us it's going to take to come to the size of the head? All of us. All of us. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher are going to keep on prophesying to them dead dry bones, prophesying to the flesh man until the breath comes into him, the Spirit, and he rises up and stands on his feet and march forth as one mighty man. Hallelujah. And this is the time when we will come to the stature of Jesus Christ. I cannot come to that stature all by myself. All of us are going to come to the stature of Jesus Christ when we become one. Hallelujah. You see that? Well, something is going to make us one. Turn your Bibles with me to John, Brother John. Hallelujah. Chapter 17. Hallelujah. Something is going to make us one. Verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. Jesus speaking to Father. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self. God glorifies us by his person coming into us and expelling from us. Hallelujah. To those who are around us. That is how God glorifies us. He said, glorify with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Can you understand what Jesus was talking about? Jesus was saying, Father, before you and I got together and say, let us make man in our own image, before we even built the world, which maybe some billion years ago, I had a glory which I put aside to become a mortal human being in order that I might bring forth life in the human realm. He said, now I'm ready to take up back this glory and be God again. Amen. I'm ready to take up this glory and be in you and you in me and God reigning through the universes and the eternal almighty God. I am ready for this glory again. Hallelujah. Let's read a little on. He said in verse 6, I have magnified thy name. I have made thy name big unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest me, and they have kept thy word. Now, something peculiar is happening here. Look on verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Come on now, what's going to make us one? The glory of Almighty God coming out through this brother. The glory of Almighty God coming out through the sister. The glory of Almighty God coming out through you. And the glory of Almighty God coming out. And when the glory of God comes out through all of us, we are one. We couldn't help it if we tried. You know, because the first thing happening, my spirit will be moving in you so much. In you, I'm talking about. So that all of a sudden you're washing your clothes and suddenly you remember Brother Dutil and you have to set out and pray for him across the world. And at the moment Brother Dutil is hearing your voice. Amen. And we become one. Every one of you here in our travels, we see you. Sometimes I say to Sister Dusil, I said, Mavis, you know who comes before me? Such and such a person. She said, the same person is right here before me. I said, let us pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. As we were saying to you today, and you signify that the same thing was happening to you, and I have no doubt it was the same moment that you were bringing us up in mind, that we saw you and began to pray with you. Hallelujah. How wonderful is the union. Amen. Some of us are thinking that we are not one. Let your little old mind think as it may in the carnal. But those who are in the spiritual are acting upon the spiritual life which God has given to his body and breaking forth in the souls of men. hot, and we are working. Believe you me, 24 hours a day, the work is going on. Sometimes in your dream, God call you, pray for this one. Sometimes you see a situation, you pray for it. I was out of Illinois. I was, as a matter of fact, away in Jamaica when I got a message from the Lord that you were having problems. I started to pray for the problems, for I saw them as clear as day. And I put them before the Lord, and I was satisfied. Hallelujah. Amen. I was satisfied, and I am satisfied, man. That my sheep, help me now, hear my voice, and what? I know them, and what? They follow me, and what? I give unto them what? Eternal life, and what's happening? And they shall never perish. You believe that? Then why do you fret over God's people? You see them going down into a hole, say, hallelujah. He's gone in a hole. Watch him coming up. Amen. Because he's God's people. He can't perish. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither. Come on. Help me now. Neither what? Shall any man pluck them out of my hand? If you had believed God, you wouldn't have been worried. That's the truth. If you had believed God, you would have left it to God. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I get a testimony of you, and I get a testimony of you, and I live with you, and I observe you, and I hear what my spirit say about you, and I believe you. And you shall never perish. I don't care what happened to you. You could go down to hell. I could see you sinking down into hell. I say, I'm just waiting to see you come up back with a piece of the devil's shirt in your mouth. Amen. I believe, I just believe that, and I'm sure this is right. This is the confidence that I have in God, not in you. I don't have the confidence in your flesh. I know you'll do a lot of wrong things. I know you'll kick over the bucket of milk. But I know you're coming back. You're coming back in victory. For God won't allow his good to go into shame. Hallelujah. Okay, Jesus. Hallelujah. You believe God, nothing going to happen to you that shouldn't happen. You turn off and you go towards hell, and God swing you around so fast, amen, that you come a running. And that's my belief in God. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. You shall never perish. But Jesus said, Father, give them the glory which you and I had from the beginning. And this glory is going to make them what? Now, some of you pray for healing. I'm talking about the glory now. Some of you pray for healing. And you wiggle your big toe. And you feel your big toe still hurting. And you said, I never got what I prayed for. Now, you want me to tell you what happened to you? You never believed God. Why do I say you never believed God? Brother Bishop, you never prayed for anything and you don't get it? No, I never prayed for anything that I never got. I prayed for something and I haven't received them yet. But I got them. Hallelujah. Yeah. I got them in the spirit. For my Bible tells me that my Father, when I ask him for anything, He's going to give all good gifts to his children, and that he calls up his angels and said, let him have it. Amen. And that an angel rush off immediately with that which I have asked for. And because my head is tough, sometimes it lodges, it can't pass through my conscious soul. It can't pass through my emotions, my will, my desire. Something blocks it. Therefore, the energy that comes into my body must come through my soul. That's how God gives things. God doesn't just go around and grabs your body and... Amen. God gives you the blessing in your soul, through your soul nature. You've got to receive it. Your soul, your faith is the arms that stretch out, that takes the thing, that puts it to your breast. And then we see a manifestation in the natural. How simple it is. Jesus Christ was crucified 4,000 years before it was manifested to us. You agree with me? At least it could have been before. But the Bible said that he was crucified before the foundation of the earth. That means to say, after God made man, that Jesus was crucified 4,000 years before in the spirit. But it had to be manifested in the world. And the devil knew it. Because when Moses took the blood and daubed it upon the doorpost and the lintel as a type of the blood of Jesus Christ, which was crucified in the spirit but not yet revealed in the flesh, the devil could not face the door. They turned back. They couldn't face the door of the Israelites because of the blood. So I believe and I know that it was a thing done in the spirit. Hallelujah. Tonight Satan is defeated, completely demolished and destroyed in the spirit. But we have to walk it out, amen, until we see it with our natural eyes. Hallelujah. So when God has done something for you, begin to praise him. Begin to be of a thankful heart. Know it, Daddy, Father, it's in the spirit, I know. It's done. Thank you, Jesus, for doing it. Really feel thankful. Then those clogged up passages in your soul will burst wide open. And the flood of deliverance will come through and set you free in the body. Hallelujah. When you get free in the soul and in the spirit. For already the thing is done. So you can take the promises of God and know that they are true. Don't query, don't ask if they are true. Just take them and know they are true. Take them and accept them and keep on repeating them till they come through your conscious being into the living present. For they exist somewhere there. Somewhere there. They do exist. And what did God say about it? He said, for the things which are seen. Come on, help me now. I'm in Hebrews 11. The things which are seen were made by the things which are not seen. Hallelujah. So if the things which are not seen made the things which we do see, where is the storehouse of the things that we want? Come on, let's go back into geometry now. Amen. If the things that are not, that are seen, the bench, the mic, they were made by the things which are not seen, then where is the storehouse of the things which we desire, which we have not seen yet? It is out there. Hallelujah. For let me tell you something. This mic was in a man's mind. This mic was in a man's mind before it materialized in the natural. this room, these benches, where did they come from? They were in somebody's thoughts. Maybe in the thoughts of God. Because we weren't conscious of it. But God all the while wanted us to be here. So he engineered it. He let us walk outside and butt our toes. He let us stumble over something. And then finally you stumble and you come and you say, well, we might as well settle down here. He wanted you here a long time. Amen. But he made you stumble all around the normal. All over. Until you stumble and you drop in the right place. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. O healeth all my diseases. Oh God, we have three boys and we gave them to God from their little tots. They got up and started to preach and we say, oh God, this is it. And then God spoke a word and God said, I will save these boys. And Mavis and I hold on to the word. And we see the boys begin to step out of God. And they walk their own ways. They were men now. So they walk their own ways. Hallelujah. And we sit one side on the fence laughing at them. You're going to have to come back. Amen. Amen. Because we believe God. The man David, he saw a lot of trouble. He saw death so many times. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Then things began to look dark within. He said, oh God, remember thy word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. Hallelujah. What is your comfort? Ah, glory to God. What is your comfort in your affliction? You must have a word from God. Hold on to it, brother, sister. That's the only way you're going to survive. Praise be to God. So we see that God really has an army marching through this land. Let's sing it again. Hallelujah. At the close here. And then we open the meeting for a few minutes for questions. Take up that guitar, brother, and let it ring out for Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing that song to the Lord. Let me get that note. You remember it? God's got an army marching through this land. Deliverance is their song and healing in their hands. Everlasting joy and gladness in their hearts, and in this army I've got a part. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty, but they are mighty. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God's got an army marching through the sky. Deliverance is their song and healing in their hands. Everlasting joy, madness in their heart. And singing money I've got a part. For the weapons of the warfare are
Song of Solomon 2, I think it's the last verse. Draw me, I will run after thee. Draw me, I will run after thee. Till the day break and the shadows flee away upon the mountain of Better, I will run after thee. Thank you.